بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 27th of September in the year 2017 alhamdulillah we moved on to the 135th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu. And we're steadily going through the endless section with regards to a few of his blessed words of wisdom. So in continuation, in a narration in Imam Ahmad ibn Abi Shaybah ibn Abi Dunya Fath al-Bari Hayat al-Sahaba volume 2 page 727 of the Old English Translation Sayyidina Umar, he exhorted, radiyallahu, solitude is better than evil company. Solitude is better than evil company. So like I mentioned last night, he exhorted that when the pious are being talked about in their absence, if you don't defend them, it's like you're stamping what is being said about them. So if a person says, I'm not strong enough to speak out, this is the next category. Therefore, solitude. Solitude is better than evil company. So note, he's giving you encouragement depending upon the strength of your iman. And that's why there's a beautiful report in Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman where Atabi'een came into a masjid and to his surprise, he saw Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiyallahu by himself and he had a black cloak around him. So he said to himself, Ghanima, meaning spoils. He was a great companion by himself because I can take so much. So he approaches him and he says, O venerable companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why are you by yourself? So the great Abu Dharr radiyallahu, he said, to be by yourself is better than being in bad company. To be in good company is better than being by yourself. To speak good is better than to remain silent. And to remain silent is better than to speak evil. So straight away, look how amazing he's learning. That's why the Tabi'een said, Ghanima. So why was he by himself? Because he considered the company, Abu Dharr, to affect him. He didn't want to mix with them. And he was by himself, remaining silent, thinking, I need to control my tongue. So this is the level the companions took it to. And what better place to be by yourself than in the masjid, in the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Sayyidina Umar said here, solitude is better than evil company. But note, there's a jihad that takes place. Shaitan beautifies the haram. So you'll have friends and they're really good company in inverted commas. But in reality, they're bad. Why? Because yes, you'll have a laugh, you'll have a joke, you'll do this and that. But you're totting up the sins in their company. Maybe it was in reference to this that Sayyidina Umar instructed one and all. Take your share of isolation. Take your share of isolation. Is recorded by Hafiz Waqi rahmatullahi alayh in his Az-Zuhd 2-517 Sahih. So note, he's saying that you should have a time, a prescribed time where you should be by yourself. Meaning it also has a great impact upon you. And what's one of the great things you do when you're by yourself? You start reflecting. It's an excellent means to reflect. And you start realizing, you know, where your life's heading, where you could better yourself, etc., etc. When you're in company, you can't really think like this. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, take your share of isolation. Whilst conversely, Sayyidina Umar also exhorted radiallahu anhu, in Ibn Abi Shayba in his Al-Musannaf 13-272, Ibn al-Mubarak in his Zuhd, page 42 and 49, gather close to the mouths of those who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pay attention to what they say, for true matters are disclosed to them. Subhanallah. Gather close to the mouths of those who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pay attention to what they say, for true matters are disclosed to them. So this is again, look at these priceless words of wisdom from Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Note, he didn't say, gather close to those who can talk eloquently. He said, gather close to the mouths of those who obey their Lord. And then why? Why? Because Allah Ta'ala puts truth upon their tongues. They start talking and they're talking full of wisdom. And he goes, therefore, gather close to the people who are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only true matters, but also true dreams, as mentioned by our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is recorded in Tirmidhi and it's Hasan. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the most truest of you in speech will have the truest dreams. Meaning that Allah Ta'ala not only blesses them with wisdom, He's actually given them a piece of revelation. Because the only part of revelation that's left, or Nabuwat, sorry, is true dreams. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that's the remainder of the revelation. And who has greatest access to that? Those who are truest, the Prophet said, in their speech. That's why the awliya constantly have, you know, true and great dreams with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Umar also warned, radiyallahu anhu. This is in Bukhari's Al-Adab al-Mufrad, number 1322. Shaykh Albani rahmatullah alayhi states sahih in his checking. لا يكن حبك قلفا ولا بغضك تلفا. Do not let your love be a total infatuation. Do not let your anger be destruction. Zayd ibn Aslam inquired, كيف ذاك? How can that be? Sayyidina Umar replied, radiyallahu anhu, إِذَا أَحْبَبْتَ قَلِفْتَ قَلَفَ السَّبِي. That is when you love someone, you are infatuated like a child. وَإِذَا أَبْغَدْتَ أَحْبَبْتَ لِصَاحِبْ إِقَتَلَفْ. And when you hate, you desire your companion's destruction. So look at this amazing report from Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. So this is a sahih hadith in Bukhari's Al-Adab al-Mufrad. First he gave you the answer, but his answer was too much for the tabi'in. He didn't understand. He said, do not let your love be total infatuation, and do not let your anger be destruction. So what does that mean? Don't love so you become besotted, and don't hate that you start destroying. So Zayd ibn Aslam said, what does that mean? Amir al-Mu'mineen. He said, when you love someone, you are infatuated like a child, because that is detrimental for you. And when you hate, you desire your companion's destruction, because that is also very detrimental to you. So what was the great Sayyidina Umar saying? Love and hate, this is what they say, you know, important in the person's life, and it's true. Our deen is based upon love and hate. But note, he's warning you of extremes. Don't love in extreme. That's detrimental for you. And don't hate. Sayyidina Ali clarified upon the wisdom when he spoke to his student, Ibn al-Qawwa, rahmatullah alayh. Bukhari's Al-Adab al-Mufrad, number 1321. Shaykh al-Bani, rahmatullah alayh, states, Hasan li ghayri in his check. Love the one whom you love in measure. For it may be that one day he will be the one whom you hate. Similarly, hate the one whom you hate in measure. For it may be that one day he will be the one whom you love. There's the wisdom. But Umar radiallahu anhu, he gave you the answer. So simply put, if one becomes infatuated with another, then this leads to sharing one's innermost feelings and thoughts. Thus, if that very person becomes your enemy, you become dangerously exposed. Similarly, if your hatred for someone also goes to extremes, then your venom for him also becomes manifest to others. However, if that person then turns over a new leaf, then the embarrassment to oneself becomes apparent. Have you understood? Right? So this is again exhortation from Sayyidina Umar. And you'll get people like this always. You can think of people now. He goes, do I love this person? Am I besotted with him? Meaning, he can't do anything wrong. He goes, snap out of that. Why? Because the danger is that he could become an enemy. And you're exposing yourself too much. And similarly, do you hate somebody? Because I wish he'd die. You're hating him too much. Why? Because what if he becomes Somebody close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How embarrassing is that for you? So look at Sayyidina Umar. You know, he had this, he had to work on this quality himself, radiallahu. For instance, I'll give you the relevant part of the report. The hadith is in Tabarani Sahih. There was a companion. His name was Umair ibn Wahab, radiallahu. And basically, to cut a long narration short, he wanted to kill the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he came to the Prophet under an excuse, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he was coming to ransom his son or one of his family members who was a prisoner at Badr. So under that excuse, with a poisoned sword, he was going to strike the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Umar radiallahu anhu, the report says, he saw him. And he goes, watch that dog. And then he grabbed him and he was ruffling him up. So Umair ibn Wahab goes, why are you showing all this hatred to me? He says, I know you're up to mischief. And he goes, I've only come to ransom my son. He still grabbed him. Sayyidina Umar grabbed him. He's dragging him to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sees Umar radiallahu anhu and he goes, leave him. Let him come to me. So Umar reluctantly lets go of Umar and he's keeping an eye on him. And Umar is now next to the Prophet with his sword. So the Prophet asks him, why have you come, Umar? So Umar, he said, I've come to ransom my son, Ya Rasul, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet said, is that the real reason? So then he said, yes. He goes, why have you got a sword with you if you come to ransom your son? And then Umar said, destruction to the swords. They brought nothing but harm. Then the Prophet said, were you not sitting a few days earlier with Safwan ibn Umayyah around the Kaaba and you were discussing amongst yourselves those of your family who have been killed at Badr? And you said to Safwan, if I wasn't in debt and I didn't have all these debts, I would now go and kill Muhammad. And Safwan said to you that I will pay off your debts. Go and do what you need to do. So what happened? That exactly what had taken place. Umar was so stunned, he embraced Islam. He goes, I didn't tell you. Safwan certainly didn't tell you. Therefore, you must be the messenger of Allah. Then what did Umar say? Umar then said, he came to me, he was worse than a pig. And now he's more beloved to me than one of my family members. So what was he now learning himself? That extra hatred, that venom, because I wish I didn't have it. He goes, why was I thinking like that? Now he goes, look how embarrassing. I actually called him a dog. Imagine. And now so this is again a training process. So there you go. This is your jihad. Think of people that you want to destroy. Don't have that much venom for them. You understand? Just say, Ya Allah, you know best, but maybe he'll become pious. Please take away that excessive anger I've got towards them. And similarly, the opposite. Like you get some people besotted with people. You know, you get it especially amongst the Sufis. Their sheikh can't do any wrong. Right? And this is why Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahmatullah alayhi said, we love Ibn Taymiyyah, but we love the truth more. And he was one of his most famous students. Now imagine if some student said that today about their sheikh, you'd probably have a go at him. So you've disrespected the sheikh. No, he hasn't. He's telling you the truth. That's what the companions were teaching you. Don't get besotted by these people. And how many people are besotted by these individuals and then they find out that they're pedophiles? Then what happens to them? You didn't take the advice of Sayyidina Umar, right? You didn't take the advice of Sayyidina Ali, radiallahu anhu. So no priceless words of wisdom from the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus, as with almost all things, our glorious deed encourages a middle path. Subhanallah. Now, why did I not say all things? If a person says, with all things, you should take a middle path. That's not correct. There's one thing we don't take a middle path. Dhikr. You go, you know, like they say, bonkers with it. The Prophet said, do zikr so much that people call you mad. But with most things, we are told to take a middle path. And note again, even in this most important area. Another priceless word of wisdom from Sayyidina Umar radiallahu. He said, in Ahmad in his Zuhd, Ad-Dur al-Mantur 6-99, Ibn Kathir's Tafsir, volume 9, page 200 of the English translation. Never think ill of the word that comes out of your believing brother's mouth, just as long as you can find a good excuse for it. Never think ill of the word that comes out of your believing brother's mouth, just as long as you can find a good excuse for it. So let's look at this. Just like when one's parents apparently speak ill and harshly of their children, but one knows deep down the words are only uttered out of love. So we apply this to our parents straight away. You know, it's, may you go to hell, you're not my son, this, that. You go, no, but she still loves me. Could have fooled me, mate. Right? What? You're applying it, right? You're applying this formula, but you're restricting it to your parents because you know they don't mean it. So this is what Sayyidina Umar goes, think always, if you can find a way around to make these words good, think that. For instance, I'm going to make statements. I'm sure you've heard these statements. Somebody says, I now think it's time for you to get married. So if it's your family who says this, the son and daughter, what do they think? Out of ignorance. They want to get rid of me. You understand? I'm a burden for them now. You're thinking of your parents. Or when they say, why do you come home so late? Your remark, they don't trust me. So is that the reason they're asking you that? Why have you come home so late? Oh, they don't trust me. Or when they say, get to know and acquaint yourself with your cousins. And you respond, they're all off their heads. Similarly, when one's brothers and friends say, you put a bit of weight on. You respond by saying, get off my case. Because you're thinking ill. When a brother says, I don't see you as often in the masjid. To which you think, he's getting pleasure now because I'm weak. Look at how this sickness is coursing through our veins, our vessels. Note, however, that all the above questions could easily be construed to be out of a genuine concern, not out of finding faults. So think about that. So let's look at what this, let's now translate it to what you're supposed to do. What's the first thing? I think it's time for you to get married. Your parents want you to get married. So you think they're right. Astaghfirullah, what desires? I'm turning to the haram. Think good. Why do you come home so late? Oh, they're concerned about me. And where exactly have you been? You know where you've been. So they're asking a genuine good question. Thirdly, get to know your cousins. Oh, I'm weak in this area. I haven't been brought up with my family. They want me to know because this is a part of the deen. You put weight on. They're concerned about my health. You know, they're concerned. It's not they're having a go at me. They just, you know, worried about me, concerned. I don't see you in the masjid. Concerned about your iman. Note how you're construing it the way you're supposed to. Now, Umar goes, do that all the time. Always construe it in a good way. In addition, if one does not correct this mindset, then it will also eventually take a toll on your physical health. For as is well known, negative thoughts lead to various physical ailments. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Think about that. People say, I'm stressed. I'm getting this, I'm getting that. And normally a person goes down the diet route, you noticed. Oh, yeah, I'm too much salt. Maybe, right? Which one says, can you just do one thing in terms of thinking good of people? He doesn't understand. You have to break it down. When you hear negative statements, just if you can find it to make it a positive, do that all the time. That will have a tremendous impact upon your well-being. Those in the glorious Quran, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, what does He say? Surah Al-Hujarat, Surah 49, verse 12. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ijtanibu kathiran min adh-dhann inna ba'd adh-dhanni ithm. O you who believe, shun suspicion as much as possible. Verily, for suspicion at times is a sin. So our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, O you with iman, shun this. Because many a time this is a sin when you suspect things. Many a time it's a sin. Our beloved messenger famously said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Bukhari and Muslim, beware of suspicion. For suspicion is the worst of false tales. Beware of suspicion, for suspicion is the worst of false tales, meaning you're inventing a story and it's all rubbish, it's a lie. With regards to it becoming a sin, people get confused over this, because how can suspicion become a sin? Okay, you know, it's hurting me physically, this, that, but you said it's become a sin. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said something amazing, radiyallahu. In Bukhari's Al-Adab al-Mufrad, number 1289, Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states sahih in his check. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, radiyallahu, مَا يَزَالُ الْمَسْرُوكُ مِنْهُ يَتَذَنَّ حَتَّى يَسِيرَ أَعْظَمَ مِنَ السَّارِقُ. The person who has something stolen from him continues then to be suspicious until he becomes worse than the thief. Astaghfirullah. The person who has something stolen from him continues then to be suspicious until he becomes worse than the thief. Imagine, this is a sahih hadith from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu. So let's break it. Your car gets stolen. Shaitan straight away injects you. Oh, you know who it is. And he gives you 10 names. Well, hang on a minute. None of them are innocent. You know, even Sherlock Holmes doesn't need to wear that. Well, guess what? You're treating all of them as criminals. And if you keep breathing on that, you know, keep not getting it out, look how amazing. That becomes worse than the crime of the theft itself. Imagine, your car's been stolen, you're more of a criminal than him now, because you're suspicious. Let me ask you a question. These ailments I'm talking about, are they often discussed? No. Why? Because people don't like looking into themselves. Very easy to find fault with others. Oh yeah, you got a problem with you. Go, oh, you should keep beard, keep trousers up. And somebody goes, all of what I've mentioned so far is hitting home, because you know you've got these problems. And look how amazing. You haven't committed the theft, you've become worse than the criminal. That's what our beloved messenger was warning about. He goes, beware of it. Indeed, coupled with this, if one cannot find an excuse, so somebody's made a statement, and you're trying to apply it, you can't even find a way to make it good. It's possible. What are you supposed to do then? So imagine somebody says something and you're going, Ya Allah, I can't even make it into a good... How is that a good statement? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he gave you instructions here as well. In Ibn Kathir's tafsir. The best way to have your revenge on one who has disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some matter concerning you is to then simply obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whatever concerns him. So what does this mean? So somebody has said something, you verified it, you're trying to apply these glorious teachings, you can't make it into a good statement. Now Umar is saying, this is what you do now. You don't attack. You keep fulfilling his rights. Give him salam, visit him when he's ill. And guess what? That's the best way to take vengeance. Think about it. Not going down with a baseball bat. What do you say about me? Yeah, you might get some mazak. That's not the best way. Or send your boys down. Right? The best way to take vengeance is to obey. I fulfill his rights. What has happened to these teachings? Imagine, if somebody goes, Justin Don, Muslims were applying these, just this session today, what impact would that have on the masses? The tragedy is, first of all, we need to educate ourselves. Think about that. You know, a lot of these things, if I didn't give you the references and who was saying it, you'd argue. Well, who said that? Which philosopher said that? All of this is revelation. And think about it, how amazing is it that it was from one of the strongest companions? You know, you get these reports, you think, okay, maybe it's from Sayyidina Uthman, who's a bit soft, as compared, who's saying it? Umar. Thinking, my God, was he it? And do you think he's not going to apply it himself? So note, amazing, blessed words of exhortation from Sayyidina Umar. And this is why, like I mentioned a few nights prior, when he passed away, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, radiyallahu, we lost 90% of knowledge. 9/10 of knowledge was buried with him. But these few words, you can get a kind of a taste thinking, this is such an incredible man. And what did our beloved messenger say, which I mentioned a few times during this short biography in the Baraj? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in every nation there is a teacher, or there is a teacher or two. If there is a special teacher in my nation, it's Umar. The Prophet is already vetting him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And look how beautiful, when you go through the Prophet's lifetime, he was teaching, controlling him. Then Abu Bakr polished him off during his Khilafat. Then he gave him Khilafat, because now you take over. And that's the due process. Don't think he was born like this. He was far from this. And yet, incredible and beautiful things that will have a great impact with your relationship, not only with Allah, the Almighty and Glorious, but with the creation. So all I mentioned today, like I mentioned, was a few of the blessed exhortations with regards to our social interactions with one's brothers and sisters. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات واصبر الحق واصبر الحق